Have you ever wanted something really, really badly? Longed for it? Felt like you needed it? As a kid, I remember I wanted a bike for my birthday, and my hopes were rewarded with a sparkly yellow bike, complete with a silver sparkle banana seat and high chopper-style handlebars, sporting long plastic fringe, sprouting out of the grips. I was quite a cool third grader, as you can imagine. Other times, my hopes and requests were met with a more mixed response. For example, one year for Christmas, I requested a special doll, a dancerina doll. I was thrilled to find her under the tree. She was costumed in pink from head to toe, with a crown, a tutu, and ballet slippers. She was battery operated and very talented. When you pushed a button on her head and held firmly to the crown, she would twirl around on one pointed pink toe. Her head stayed still, but her body just twirled around and around with her blonde ponytail just bobbing away. However, that same holiday, I also received a nice jar of mixed nuts. I practiced self-control and set them aside to enjoy later. In the afternoon, when I decided to eat a quiet handful of nuts to refresh myself from the day's festivities, I opened the jar only to be surprised by several spring-loaded snakes leaping out of the jar. And even worse than that, no nuts, except maybe the nuts in my family. And now all of you are saying to yourselves, ah, now we know why she became a psychologist. All that early childhood damage, all that trauma. Tonight's scripture in Mark 5, however, is not a story about goofy Christmas gifts or someone's longings being granted with superficial dancerina dolls, or even about being disappointed in one's longings. We have a story about desperation, not for a childhood bike, but for healing. We have a story about Jesus stopping in his tracks to heal. We have a story about Jesus noticing and caring for someone in deep need. If your needs tonight, like mine, are deeper than longings for toys, then join me in looking at this story of Jesus and how he responds to people in need, like us. As you came in tonight, perhaps you saw the Rondiciani print in the narthex by the worship folders. If you missed it, you can check it out on your way out. I thought of bringing it up here on front, up front with me, but it's kind of small and you wouldn't have been able to really appreciate it from up here anyway, so check it out on your way out. When my mother died, she left a note on that print indicating that she wanted me to have it after she passed. Those of you who have come to my home may recognize it, as it usually hangs in my living room. It portrays a woman in denim jeans and a sweatshirt at the feet of Jesus, reaching out to touch him. Diciani said that he chose to paint the woman of Mark 5 in modern-day clothing to help us connect with the story. He says, "The woman in my painting is a contemporary one. She reaches to the one who has real power, Jesus. He still has that power, but we can only experience it for ourselves when we take the risk and reach out for him." Our scripture tonight shows us how reaching out in faith to Jesus will reveal to us that we are not alone. When we reach out to him, he is ready to respond, and he will always respond with his touch in return. He is always with us, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what mess we find ourselves in. The Gospel of Mark is known as a gospel of action. In other words, Mark explains who Jesus is by showing us what he does, rather than spending a lot of detailed time on his teachings. So we can assume that this story is here to accomplish that purpose. In Mark 5, we are introduced to one of Mark's classic devices. As an English nerd, I love this. It's called intercalation, literary sandwich. Throughout the book of Mark, he tends to insert a story within a story, which adds to the ongoing feeling of action throughout the gospel. We see that in our gospel reading tonight. The story of Jesus en route to heal one person is interrupted by another story of healing. The chapter begins with Jesus on the way to heal the daughter of Jairus, a synagogue leader. Jesus is on an urgent errand to aid an important man of significant standing in Jewish society. However, even while moving with purpose to help the family of a man of status, Jesus stops to acknowledge a humble, sick woman. And by the way, here's an intercalation right here of my own. This is a reminder for those of us who are task-oriented. If we wish to model ourselves after Jesus, we will be open to the interruptions, which may be the real work that God is calling us to in the moment. Even while finishing this sermon yesterday, I had the opportunity literally to practice what I'm preaching to you today. I had set aside the day for writing and fine-tuning, but a client of mine reached out to me and said he really needed to meet. So while preparing to preach about Jesus, the God who values interruptions, I could hardly tell him I was too busy writing a sermon to meet with him, could I? So now I'll finish up this interruption and get back to the sermon, back to Mark 5. We are told that this woman had been bleeding for many, many years, 12 to be exact. That is a long time. It would be a long time in any context. But let's consider what it means in that context. In Jewish culture, she is a zava, a woman with a bleeding that is not part of her regular monthly reproductive cycle. She is considered ritually impure. That means that she's cut off from normal social interaction, cut off from worship. Anyone who touches her then is also considered impure as well until undergoing purification rituals. She probably shouldn't have even been in that crowd, as others who may have had even casual physical contact with her would have also then been considered in need of purification. I've read that many observant Jewish men in that day attempted to avoid contact with all women altogether for the sake of maintaining ritual purity, just in case a woman might be experiencing some kind of undisclosed reproductive cycle bleeding. But additionally, in that time, if a woman had a disorder of her reproductive system, it would mean that she would be unable to have children. It would mean that if she were married, her husband would then have a valid reason for divorce. Finally, the gospel tells us that though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her, and in fact, she even grew worse. This suggests to us that she may have been financially destitute as well. So, she is socially isolated, cut off from her religious community, perhaps divorced, without hope of children, a significant stigma at this time of history in this particular culture, and most likely with an empty bank account. No status. I've had only a small taste of what this woman endured. Most of you know that I've dealt with serious back issues. I spent a lot of time and money on medical procedures, physical therapy, and diagnostics over the past 12 years myself. Some of my pain and discomfort has led to isolation just naturally, as I was not always feeling up for travel or being social. And at times, I was very sad and miserable due to my discomfort. I remember one evening in particular when I arrived at church and parked in the circle out front. I was ready to come in and saw Father Kevin out front. We greeted each other through my car window. However, before coming in, I just realized I was too tired and too uncomfortable to even get out of my car and come to the service. So even though I said hello to the priest, I just decided I was driving and going home and going to listen to it online. I drove home, and then Father Kevin and Mother Karen were a little confused that night, calling me to say, "Didn't we just see you at church tonight? What happened?" So I understand just when you're just in such pain and so tired and so uncomfortable, sometimes it's just hard to just do your regular activities. But despite my pain and limitations, I never experienced truly abandonment or rejection. My church family, my biological family, have always been there for me, and I'm grateful to all of you for that. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be told to stay away. Maybe a better example of that is what we all experienced to some degree during the height of COVID. But even then, we had a corporate social isolation, and it was hard. And then if we got COVID, were diagnosed with COVID, then we had to quarantine alone until we got better, and that was a lonely feeling. But it was not anything that lasted for 12 years. Maybe another way to relate to this woman is when we think of ourselves experiencing maybe seasons of shame, misery, or discouragement, maybe depression, that have led to self-quarantine. Have your bad choices ever seemed unspeakable? Have you ever thought that if others knew what you'd done or said, then you might really be rejected? Have you ever felt alone, as if the truth of what you know or what you've done is too much for you to accept, let alone anyone else? Have you thought that God cannot forgive you, or at least you cannot forgive yourself? Have you just felt tired or weary in trying to continue your spiritual journey? Have you felt in your pain and suffering God has abandoned you? John of the Cross called these seasons the dark night of the soul. Maybe you can relate to the desperation of this woman in Mark 5. This woman, even after so many years of suffering, bravely pushed into the crowd, even at the risk of being exposed and further rejected by her community. I wonder what gave her the courage to press forward. Maybe she had felt she'd tried everything else and had nothing left to lose. As she moved into the crowd, she found people energized and excited by Jesus' recent healing of the man possessed by demons. Maybe they'd even heard about his stilling of the storm that Rob preached about last week. The stilling of the storm as he made his way across the Sea of Galilee. Maybe they had their own needs and sicknesses they wanted healing for. However, she and the others in the crowd found that Jesus was already on a mission. I think it's no coincidence that the miraculous touch Jairus was looking for was healing for his daughter. While Jairus was a man of note and status, his daughter was young, a woman, not as important at that time as a man in that society. But women were important to Jesus too. Jesus still cared about a little girl. And later in this chapter, we see that the girl happens to have died, and this is another situation of impurity. However, Jesus does not allow that barrier to stand in the way of meeting the needs of that little girl, just as he does not allow it to prevent his healing work for the woman who touched him. Our Savior is a God of intercalation and interruptions. Although Jairus is important and his family by association is also important, this unnamed impure woman in need, according to Jesus, is also important. A few other things to notice. This woman doesn't just enter the crowd, but she moves through it to Jesus. And then she touches Jesus' garment. Some writers say, maybe even just the fringe of his garment. Mark tells us that Jesus recognizes the power had gone out from him. Now, why not just move on? Content with the awareness the healing had occurred. That would have been fine. Jesus could have just caught her eye, given her a knowing glance, and moved on. But instead, he asks, he stops, "Who touched my clothes?" Did he really not know who touched him? No, I think he knew. Mark says that when this woman touched Jesus' clothes, she knew she was healed. I wonder what that was like. The closest thing I can identify with in this passage is the sensation I had after surgery, recognizing that my spinal cord was not being pinched, sending pain messages to my body. I could feel the pain of the incisions, but I could also feel that something was very different, and I could feel that I was healed. In the same way, this woman knew instantly she was healed as soon as she touched Jesus. And I think this would have been enough for her. She wasn't seeking attention. She wasn't yelling, "Hey, Jesus, let me touch you." She quietly came up and did it. She was not looking for attention. She was happy to crawl in quietly, touch his garment, and leave without a sound. But Jesus wanted to acknowledge her publicly. Of course, then here come the disciples, always ready to help. They say, there are a lot of people here. There are many people touching you in your clothes, Jesus. Just relax. Don't be ridiculous. Let's just keep going. There's Jairus. There's an important guy. We got to get going. And you know what? I'm sure I would have been there with him, trying to keep Jesus focused. Let's, come on. We got a task to do. Come on, Jesus. They are familiar, as am I, with the tyranny of the urgent. Certainly, they were impressed with the stature of Jairus as well. But Jesus was not distracted by the urgent and was focused on what was important in the moment. He kept looking until the woman came to him trembling with fear and told him the whole truth. Diciani, in his painting, shows her low and close to the ground, touching his cloak near his feet in a position of submission and supplication. It seems there was something of value for this woman and for us in Jesus taking the time to address her personally. There was something of value in her telling him the whole truth. And Jesus speaks to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Despite the original urgent mission, Jesus took the time and interrupted his original schedule to share the joy of this ostracized but faithful woman's healing. He wanted to share it with her in public. He not only physically healed her, but publicly affirmed her. What does this mean for us? There's power in speaking about your life and being heard. As a psychologist, the truth of this statement is foundational for me in my work. In AA, they say you reduce your shame by 50% every time you tell your story. A Christian therapist recently wrote, when we create space to lament and tell our stories in the context of empathy and safety, our brains are rewired toward health. Was there additional healing for this woman in speaking her story and in being declared healed by Jesus in public after 12 long years of social isolation and rejection? Jesus did not leave without making verbal and visual contact. The physical healing was not sufficient. He did not want to exit without giving her and us the benefit of fully and openly acknowledging that her courage and faith and reaching out was the source of healing and blessing. And perhaps the blessing in that moment is summed up by Eugene Peterson's words, being listened to is so close to being loved, most people do not recognize the difference. Can you imagine if Jesus was the one asking you to tell him your story? What would it be like if Jesus showed you his love by giving you his full attention? What would it be like if you reached out to him in your pain, physical, emotional, and found him gazing at you and asking to hear your story? The good news of this story is that Jesus is here, ready to respond to you tonight. He does want to hear your story. He's listening. He is ready to provide healing. Is there part of your life that needs Jesus' touch? Are you longing to be seen and heard and loved by him? Have you been avoiding the gaze of God out of shame, pride, or discouragement? What do you need from him tonight? His loving and healing touch awaits you. No matter what mess you are in, he is here. The same Jesus who stilled the raging seas and healed the bleeding woman is here for you. The healing touch of Jesus is here for us tonight. Let's take a moment now to be quiet before the Lord. Reach out to him in faith. He is there for you. Amen.